Namaste Pankajangraye.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Nama Pankajanabhaya.
Nama Pankajanabhaya.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajanetraya.
Nama Pankajanetraya.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Do you understand this verse? You understand Nama. Pankaja, you understand Pankaja? Means lotus. So, Queen Kunti is offering obeisances to Lord Krishna in terms of different parts of his appearance being like lotuses. Nama Pankaja, what's the first line? Nama Pankaja? Nabhaya. So what is the Nabha? That is the sort of stomach button, really. What's the technical term for that?
Umbilicus.
How's that? That's clinical enough. Anyway. Yes. So Nama Pankaja Nabhaya. He has a... But what's the term in English? There's a term which is more common and...
Navel.
Let's just say navel. Okay. One who has a navel like a lotus. Then Nama Pankaja Malane. What is a mala? It's a garland. Our japamala, it actually means a garland of japa beads. So, he wears, we're talking about his appearance, he wears a garland of lotuses. And Nama Pankaja Netraya, what are the netra? The eyes. He has eyes like a lotus. And Namaste Pankaja Angraye means, well, Anga means limbs, really. But here Prabhupada's translating as the bottoms of the lotus feet. They are marked with Pankaja, lotuses. So let us repeat again, understanding what we're chanting. Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Maline.
Nama Pankaja Maline.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Maline.
Nama Pankaja Maline.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Nama Pankajanabhaya.
Nama
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajanetraya.
Nama Pankajanetraya.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
So, one of the men tried to recite this verse. Ishka. No. It's very simple.
Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Malane.
Nama Pankaja Malane.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Namaste Pankajangraye. Jason, you got it?
Nama Pankaja Navaya.
Nama Pankaja Navaya.
Nama Pankaja Malane.
Nama Pankaja Malane.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Namaste Pankaja Angraye.
Namaste Pankaja Angraye. Very good. Any other of the men? Nothing? Can you do it? No? Raghunath? Anyone else? Ladies? Nandarani? Nama Pankaja Nabhaya. Nama Pankaja Malane. Nama Pankaja Netraya. Namaste Pankajangaye. Good. Any other ladies? Other Dweja? Nama Pankaja Nabhaya. Mother Pimps are up. Nama Pankaja Nabhaya. Nama Pankaja Manane. Nama Pankaja Netraya. Namaste Pankajangaye. Yes. Traditionally, the students in Vedic times, they would learn everything just by hearing. So of course now it's Kali Yuga, so it's not so easy, but still, it's good for the mind to focus the mind and strengthen the mind and clear the mind. It's very good to try to learn some verses. So this is a very nice verse by Queen Kunti. So translation. Let's do the... Well, no, we can just do the translation. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Can repeat after me, please. My respectful obeisances are unto you.
My respectful obeisances are unto you.
O Lord, whose abdomen is marked, with a depression like a lotus flower,
who are always decorated
with garlands of lotus flowers,
whose glance is as cool as the lotus,
and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Isn't that a beautiful description? So, it, the verse says, Nama Pankaja Netraya, he has lotus eyes. But Srila Prabhupada has expanded on that a little. If someone has eyes which are like lotuses, then his glance will be lotus-like. So, Srila Prabhupada has translated that line, that his glance is as cool as the lotus. Lotuses flower in summer. Near our temple in Chatsworth, there is a lotus pond. And every day or every few days, we get a shipment of lotuses coming in. Yes, they're real lotuses. We were in Nandagram, and it was, summer had ended, of course, And even the rainy season had ended, and it was cooling down. It wasn't really hot. It wasn't hot, but it was still warm. And there is one, actually there are two kunds right side by side, Kamal Kund, lotus ponds. So we went there and we saw some nice lotuses growing. The end of the season, so there weren't many, but it was very nice. Lotus is very beautiful. They should put some lotuses in the ponds here. That would be very nice. Anyway, so here we have this beautiful verse by Queen Kunti. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here are some of the specific symbolical marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguish his body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, sudras, the labor class, and the dvijabandhus, or the wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand transcendental subject matter concerning the spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms, etc., of the Supreme Personality, of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they're unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Achavigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above-mentioned women, sudras, and dvijabandhus. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen. And thus Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, the Lord is known as Pankajanabhi. The Pankajanabhi Lord accepts the Achavigraha, his transcendental form, in different elements, namely, a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewel, a form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore the Lord is merciful even to the women, sudras, and dvijabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple of worship of in different forms made for them. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas established such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent. And one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of the sudras and the women or less. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Srimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet, because the Lord might feel ashamed. And thus, Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see him just above his lotus feet, that is, from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face, and then down to the lotus feet. In the round, everything there is in order. Nama Pankaja Nabhaya, Nama Pankaja Malane, Nama Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So this verse, let me look at my summary. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnanam Jana Salakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantika Vanchakalpa Charubhya Stakripa Sanubhya Vacha Padidhanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Brahma Nijananda Shri Advaitikadadha Shiva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this verse is a very nice verse, and these verses, they're very special verses, and actually, I have a type of attachment to these verses anyway, for a personal reason. These are the verses, this was the verse that was read in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, the first day that I stayed overnight at the temple and attended the morning program, or attempted to. Well, I attended, but I wasn't so wide awake. I was there in body, but it was a struggle. But I remember this verse and purport, and I remember the very last sentence, the last little series of sentences discussing how Queen Kunti didn't want to embarrass Krishna by looking at his feet first, because she was his aunt and in that way was a superior. So for the superior to approach from the lotus feet, from the feet, in the case of just amongst relatives generally, so for the superior to approach from the feet is inappropriate, really. And it wouldn't be done. The juniors, the children, they will approach from the feet, traditionally. And even nowadays in India, in the more cultured families, they do that. The children come in the morning, or when they're going out somewhere, before they go, they'll come and bow down, offer their obeisances at the feet of their mother and father. So for Queen Kunti, from that point of view, from the purely superficial social point of view, for the aunt, who is a generation older, to approach from the feet, that's inappropriate. Of course, from the transcendental point of view, with Queen Kunti being the devotee, and Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so of course it is appropriate to approach from the feet. But their relationship is a very transcendental relationship, at least. So she is thinking, he is my nephew. But at the same time she's thinking, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Her position is somewhere in between. That very informal mood, like in Vrindavan, and the very formal mood in Vaikuntha, where there are no real familial relationships so much like that, but all very formal relationships in terms of the relationship between the Lord and the devotee in that sense, that he is the Lord and the devotee is the servant. So Queen Kunti, her relationship is somewhere in between So there is an element of formality. She wants to begin in a humble way. But at the same time, she is the aunt, and therefore there's some element of informality. And Srila Prabhupada gives his explanation here at the end of the purport, and concludes by saying, I remember this, it made a real impression on me. In the round, everything there is in order. So I thought it was rather nice way that Srila Prabhupada put that. She will start from the waist, go up, and then come around to the feet again. So she'll offer her respects at the feet. In the round, whether you look at it from the point of view of the intimate relationship of relatives, as in Vrindavan, or in the informal types of relationships that the Lord has with his devotees, or whether you look at it from the formal point of view, actually everything has been accommodated. It's very nice. And she has done that very nicely, in a way which won't embarrass Krishna if he is to look from the formal point of view that he's God. I mean, rather, that he is the nephew. Oh no, that's the informal way. That he is the nephew and she is the aunt. Or from the formal way that he is God and she is the devotee. So, either way, Queen Kunti, being very wonderful devotee and very transcendentally intelligent devotee, very amazing devotee, she is able just to capture the situation and act in terms of the situation just correctly. So it's very, very appropriate in all respects. So I remember this verse, hearing this verse, sitting there as a young fellow in our Berry Place temple in London, not knowing much at all of what was going on. But I remember this, in the round, everything there is in order, and thinking that, you know, this is clever. I don't remember noticing the comments that Srila Prabhupada makes about the different classes here of persons, women, sudras or laborers, Dwija Bandhus, those who are descendants of members of the higher orders, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and even Vaishyas, but they haven't maintained their standards, and therefore they have come down really in terms of their practical, their lives on the practical level. I didn't remember that now. And as I was reading, I was thinking, oh, that's interesting. This is a very sensitive subject in our ISKCON movement these days. And, of course, you all being Indian ladies, I don't know, I don't want to think for you, but anyway, it is interesting. But Srila Prabhupada here is making a distinction which is made in the Vedic literatures. But, unfortunately, now, as the Vedic literatures say, Kalo Sudra Sambhava, in this age of Kali, everyone is born a Sudra, if they're lucky. Sudra means a willing laborer, someone who knows labor is for me, and he likes to do it, he wants to do it, and is not. If someone is just a lazy person, they would rather just not work, then they're not considered Sudra, they're considered less than Sudra. So nowadays, the majority of people, if they're lucky, they're born Sudras. We are getting attacked here by the ants. Various creatures. Yeah, so nowadays, in this Kali Yuga, if people are lucky they're born Sudras, there's a shortage of Sudras. But rather everyone, or the great majority of people, they are lower than Sudra. Malecha, Chandala, and Yavana, like this. These are three categories of untouchables, or people who are considered to be outside of Vedic society, people who want to eat meat. The Sudras, sometimes they may eat meat, but it is not that they go out of their way. It is not that they feel that this is our natural food and they naturally gravitate towards that. No. The Sudras were protected by the higher classes, who would practically always be vegetarian. So the Sudras would eat vegetarian food. But those who actually wanted to eat meat, and by choice they did that, and normally they would live as like hunters, and that is how they would get their meat. So they were not considered on the level of Sudra. They were considered less. And actually they are considered less than human, in fact. Not in the strict sense of the term. They were not really considered human beings, in the very strict sense of the term. So, this is Kali Yuga. This is Kali Yuga. So, where Srila Prabhupada is talking here about the women, the Sudras, and those who are the descendants of the higher classes, but they're not maintaining the higher classes' standards, then, in so many cases, he is talking about people who are higher than us, actually, by birth and by standard of activity, at least prior to coming to Krishna consciousness. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is very merciful. He is very merciful to everyone. And in Kali Yuga, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is particularly merciful to the degraded persons. He is Patita Pavana, the deliverer of those who are Patita, the fallen. You know, sometimes our devotees, when they're initiated, they get a double-barreled name, you could say, like Patita Pavana, or Dina Bandhu. And the devotees, in their sort of just informal exchanges, they shorten the name and they call the devotee either Patita or Dina. So Patita means fallen and Dina means wretched. They say something like that. So that just shows how we don't think sufficiently, really. You could always call him Bandhu, friend, or Pavana, deliverer. But to say Patita, you're fallen. Oh, fallen one, please come here. Oh, wretched one, lowly one, come here. So if it's like that, then... But of course in the case of Mother Dwija Mani, then it's okay. Because Dwija means twice born. Yes. And Dwija Mani, though, means jewel amongst the twice born. Of course, it could also be translated as, Mani can mean mind, could also be translated as one who within their mind thinks they're twice born. But in her case, it's a name of Lord Chaitanya. Just like Lord Indra in the Govardhan Leela, he wanted to insult Krishna, so he called him Pandita Maninam. And within his mind, Lord Indra thought that what I am calling him is one who in his mind thinks he's a pandit, because Krishna had convinced Nanda Maharaj and company to not perform the Indra Puja. And, you know, he's just a little boy trying to instruct his father and the other older men.